Make sure you get it out, Jimmy.
Please rise and join us in a pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I gotta give her the ring, sir. Okay, Des Moines County Board of Supervisors, Tuesday, March 26th, 2024. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda? Meet with department heads, elected officials. Sarah Doty, Des Moines County Auditor.
Good morning. House File 718 mailing went out last week, so if anyone calls, please forward them to my office. There was a section that the system slipped missed, so District 1 did not receive a letter, so my office is frantically working on getting that out this morning. So other than that, we're business as usual.
Was were they tickled to sell that many envelopes?
Yeah. He said that was the biggest sale he's ever had. So he was happy about that.
That's good.
Brian was stuffing envelopes.
Yes.
Oh, everybody was stuffing envelopes.
That's the bottom of the barrel right there.
So if anyone has free time today.
That's the first time I've seen Brian doing it.
Oh, no, it took him half an hour.
Try to stay out of public view for that kind of stuff.
Colin Gerst, IT.
Just keep busy like always, nothing really new to report.
Thanks, Colin. Sheriff Kevin Glendinning.
Good morning. Plenty going on. Not much news for the board today, though. Our jail is at 80 adults.
80.
80. And 8 were out of county, plus 1 juvenile. So numbers have softened in that area. Hopefully we'll see that keep going that way.
No doubt. Good. Thank you, Sheriff.
Yep.
Rodney Buesner, Maintenance Director.
Good morning. Got a couple things. We listed an item for sale on govdeals.com. It's a 1990 Suburban. It's the Suburban that the juveniles were using the last several years to, when they had the community service during the summer. They would use it during the summer. We'd store during the winter. So they no longer use that. It was actually previously the sheriff's, so just something that's not getting used. And we had it sitting there, so we finally got it listed. So if anybody's interested in that, is on govdeals.com. I'm hoping to get the link posted to the county website today. It'll be on, it started yesterday morning, it'll be on there for 10 days. So people's got plenty of time to get signed up and bid on that if they would like. Shannon asked me, she's in some training this morning, to remind everybody the statewide tornado drill is tomorrow at 10 o'clock. So they will sound the alarms off. Said it will be fairly short. They'll sound the alarms off once, let it go through a cycle, hit a second cycle, and then it'll be pretty much done. So it won't last too long, but just to remind all the county buildings and employees to take a look and run through their tornado drill when that goes off tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Like to ask for the for you guys, if we could close the courthouse down on April 5th at 2 o'clock to do our active threat training. I've talked to you guys before about that. So we'll give you guys a blessing to close the courthouse down for some training on that day. Other than that, I have an agenda item.
Either of you gentlemen have a problem with that day?
I don't have a problem at all. I think it's a good deal, Rodney.
What day of the week is that?
That's a Friday.
Yeah, Friday.
Friday afternoon.
April 5th.
Good choice of days.
Friday at 2 p.m.
The next day at almost that same time, there's a total eclipse of the sun. And people will be going outside to look at it.
How's it called a week?
It was the 8th.
That was the
7th. It's going to be cloudy and rainy.
I thought it was the 8th, too, but I guess
We generally have it on different days. We're trying to work around the court schedule when they don't have like a jury trial or something like that going on. So it ended up being on a Friday this time, so.
You're right, Tom.
But thank you.
At 2 o'clock?
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock's we're gonna shut it down, so we'll have to close the courthouse down and, you know, let customers finish up whatever they got going on and do a sweep of the building and then go through our training. So thank you guys. Appreciate the support.
Thank you. Jared Lasker, land use.
Morning. Land use, we're just keeping busy as usual. We have a couple of minor subdivisions out for review. One new one just this late this past week, and then we had a zoning commission meeting yesterday evening for a subdivision that will, it's a preliminary plat that will we expect to have on the agenda for next week. Apart from that, I don't have anything to report.
Thank you, Jared. Now in Longwood. It's your time to be here. Warren County Treasurer.
Good morning. And we are busy. The post office box was plumb full yesterday. So just a reminder that the 31st falls on Sunday. So Monday, April 1st is the last day to pay without penalty. 8 a.m. April 2nd, penalty will start to accrue. So.
What is the penalty?
1.5% interest. 1.5%. And on all the news releases, I've, you know, mentioned about the front doors and using the back exit and everything. So hopefully,
I did make a heading on the website too yesterday.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. So, it's busy.
Thank you.
That's it.
Ken Hyman, Mental Health Agency of Southeast Iowa, for now.
Yeah, that's right. Last Wednesday, we had our region monthly meeting, and we went over our last annual service and budget plan. We talked about the behavioral health system bill, an 80-page bill, and now there's something in appropriations with a 37-page amendment to that bill. CEO Collaborative will be reviewing that amendment, creating notes on the amendment, and bring it back to the region. So I expect next month we'll hear more about what all's in that amendment. I know Ryan did send a link to a video too about the bill, so I'm gonna watch that later today. This is Mahaseys, the region of Mahaseys' last year of contracting with providers, and so that's starting. Next week we'll start having contract meetings with providers. It's just kind of a confusing time. It's Katie Fisher's last day will be Thursday this week. She's over the claims, you know, she's from Monroe County, but she's over the claims. So duties are gonna have to get redistributed and everybody's just gonna be kicking in as we finish this. I mean, I'll be here till the end of the year, but throughout, as we finish out the region, it's just getting a little bit hectic. The SEAL website that we always used, well, now that we're the Mahaseys region, there was a plan to make a Mahaseys website. So the SEAL website's down right now. The Mahaseys website is kind of like maybe halfway up, but it doesn't have all the forms and everything that the SEAL website had on it. So we're kind of in a state of flux right now as we're right in the process of switching region names, but also the big question of, you know, what's sustainable, what do we focus our efforts on. I'll just tell you, I'm focusing my efforts on trying to help people. You know, that's the main part of my job, is helping people with mental health needs and disabilities, and that's what I'm going to keep focusing on until I leave. But there's just a lot of transition going on, so we'll do the best we can.
Thanks, Ken.
Uh-huh.
How do we step into the Warren County Recorder?
Good morning. Just business as usual. Nothing new to report.
Okay, thank you. Lisa Schaefer, Warren County Attorney.
Good morning. We're busy, which we're always busy, so I guess that's just par for the course. We do have a personnel action. Rob Bixler, our part-time investigator, has decided to officially completely retire. His last day was last week. After 42 years in law enforcement, between state, DCI, and our office, he's decided he needs a rest. And so we want to thank him for everything he's done for our office, but also for the area. He has been in law enforcement for a very, very long time. And so we congratulate him on his full retirement now. He's actually going to stop working completely, and wish him well in that. We have actually been able to conditionally fill our assistant county attorney position. We decided to think a little outside the box, and rather than hiring an already licensed attorney, well, because we can't, because none of them are applying, we decided to venture into a third year law student. And so we have extended a conditional offer to a third year at the University of Iowa, who's particularly interested in working in a more rural part of the state, not interested in one of the metro areas, which was fabulous for us, because that's where we seem to lose everybody to. But obviously her hire will be conditional on graduating, which I don't anticipate being a problem, and then passing the bar, which she will take in July. And our plan is to hire her as a clerk, just a law clerk, for that first couple months after she's taken the bar until she gets licensed, and then we'll transition her into the full-time assistant county attorney position. We just decided that we're going to have to do things differently than we've done them in the past. And she's actually fabulous. Her name is Cassie. I met
Cassie
her at...
Cassie or Kathy?
Cassie. Cassandra. Cassie Kilby. Met her at the Public Service Expo at the University of Iowa College of Law a few months ago. She was friends with last year's summer legal intern, and he introduced us. And I think she's going to be a fabulous fit. And very, very anxious for her to join us. And then for the attorneys that are here, we see light at the end of the tunnel now. So we know we just have to get through the next few months. And we think this is actually going to be a good plan, because we can also use that 2 months to have her be doing things, but also getting her trained. So unlike hiring somebody where you kind of have to go through the introducing them to everybody, she'll already be ready to go. When she gets, when her number's not up. For those of you who don't know, when you pass the bar, you get a number, you're assigned a number, and what they do is they put up the numbers of the people who didn't pass. And so, because Iowa has one of the highest pass rates in the country, yeah, it's easier out of the 400 that take it to put the ones that did not pass. And so, assuming her number does not come up, then she'll just be ready to go as soon as she's sworn in at the end of September. So we're very, very excited.
Please give the board's thanks to Rob Bixler. That's a long time in law enforcement.
Will do. So yeah, we're also looking for a part-time investigator, if anybody knows anybody who might be interested.
Bix doesn't golf either, does he?
Pardon?
I say Bix doesn't golf either, I don't think.
No, I think he's got kids. His daughter lives in, I believe, Arizona, and he's got some grandkids. I think he's just ready. I think he just decided it was time. There's too much other stuff going on, and he was just ready to relax a little bit.
Great, great, great guy. I've known him for a long time.
Thanks, Lisa. Brian Carter, Mon County Engineer.
Good morning. Some update stuff. They're still working in the bottoms on that little bridge on the dead end road. Maybe a chance they'll wrap up their work by the end of the week. So then it'll sit there until our crew frees up. So it'll be a little while on that one.
Thank you for the video. That was great.
Yeah. I'll just jump to that. Bridgeport Bridge, the old bridge, is no longer dropped and in the river anymore. The contractor got it all out, and there's a little bit of site work yet to do when we drive back out, I think. More on the Lee County side, although there's a little bit of stuff on the north, but a little bit of site work. But in general, the bridge is no longer in the river and no longer a safety issue like it was. So so that's a good one to get to that point. Still rocking. I would mention that we do currently have our dust control program scheduled for the end of April. So when we get closer to that, I'll remind you of that. But they're going to try to bring all their trucks in and try to do the whole thing in 2 days. So that's earlier than normal, but the main supplier of calcium chloride in the Chicago area decided to shut down in the middle of May for a couple weeks for just random maintenance, which is terrible timing for that. So anyway, since we got our rocking done early, we'll get our dust control done early, and so I think they'll be good. That'll be a good thing. And then I would mention that there'll be a little bit of activity at the two ARPA bridges that are, they're not going to start bridge-wise until, oh, late May is the last thing we've heard, or early June. But the contractor has to drop some trees to avoid the Indiana bat issue on April 1st. So they've waited right up until it. So Four Seasons will be in on both those bridges. Maybe a one lane situation just for safety purposes up on Highway 99. Neither one of them should be full closure. So on Upper Flint on Highway 99, they're going to come in and drop some trees, and they may haul some out. They may just leave them until they're in there. That's their call. So there'll be a little bit of a change of landscape and some work going on this week at those locations. And then I'd also mention that Best Hope from the from Jones Contracting, the contractor that's going to do the concrete on the Golf Course Road Hill, is they're hoping to have Phi, who is their subcontractor, maybe come in the second week or early in the third week of April and close that up and start work on that. So they're going to go ahead and have their traffic control company come down and get signs put up and just bag them. So you're going to see some activity, which is, I don't think is a bad thing. I think giving people a reminder, a heads up that something's coming, because that's the kind of place where you never get everybody on the same page. There's so many people that drive through there. You're going to catch some people off guard no matter what you do when you finally close it. And we'll do a press release and we'll get a hold of the landowners right there. But anytime you close a road that is that busy, it's an inconvenience. So something early like that catches people's attention and hopefully generates some calls and we can give people a heads up. So things are moving along, plenty of stuff going on.
Thank you, Brian.
Yep.
Why would you want to cut down trees around the bridges?
They're needed because first of all, some of them are too close to be able to work safely with the crane to do the bridge work that's needed. Some of them are needed just to do some of the ditch shaping to reshape the ditches right there by the bridge.
So that doesn't have anything to do with the bats?
Well, you have to, the state law with Indiana bat, it's a protected species, and they apparently, their calendar doesn't start roosting in loose tree bark until April 1st. I've never asked a bat, but that's what the DNR tells me. So you have to get any trees that comply with that rule have to be dropped so they're no longer a viable habitat before April 1st or after October something, 15th, 31st. I don't remember what the October date is, but there's a window of time through the winter that you're allowed to do it. Apparently they go hibernate somewhere else.
You want to make sure you do your due diligence. Quit being lazy and ask the bat, please.
I'm working on finding one. Okay.
Correspondence.
Either of you gentlemen have?
I have.
Okay. Looks like there's some here. Okay, we have a from the Iowa Army Ammunition Plant, Middletown. We have approval of a Class 1 prior approval permit modification. You are receiving this correspondence as notification for recent actions pertaining to the Iowa Army Ammunition Plant located at 17571 Des Moines County Highway 79, Middletown, Iowa. The referenced installation was issued a Resource Conservation and Recovery Act permit by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency on September 28, 2018. Because you are an adjacent landowner, agency, office, elected official, concerned citizen, et cetera, et cetera, you are listed on the IAAAP's RCRA permit mailing list to receive such notification. I don't think anybody wants to hear all this. They've changed some language, probably just barely. So if there's not any sort of a public demand, we're going to list this as correspondence. I see your finger.
Yeah, if you don't. I just got a text from Chris. He was trying to join up your WebEx, but he couldn't get on. But if you have an update, they're working on the Nature Center. He's moved in now and should have Jeff moved in by the end of the week. They'll need a bit more time to get fully moved out of the main office. The campgrounds will be open this weekend, and they're having the fundraising banquet this next Thursday at the barn on the ridge to raise money for conservation departments.
Thank you, Chris. Okay, we'll proceed to discussion and vote. We have a proclamation for 2024 Child Abuse Prevention. Whereas children are our nation's most vulnerable members, as well as our nation's most valuable resource, helping to shape the future of Des Moines County, Iowa, and beyond. And whereas positive childhood experiences by loving caregivers and safe, stable, and nurturing relationships can help mitigate trauma and the negative impact of adverse childhood experiences to promote the social, emotional, and developmental well-being of children. Whereas childhood trauma can have a long-term psychological, emotional, and physical effects throughout an individual's lifetime and impact future generations of their family. And whereas childhood trauma, including abuse and neglect, is a serious problem affecting every community in the U.S., and finding solutions requires input and action from everyone. And whereas children who live in families with access to concrete economic and social supports are less likely to experience abuse and neglect. And whereas prevention is possible because of the partnerships created through families, prevention advocates, child welfare professionals, education, health, community, and faith-based organizations, businesses, law enforcement agencies, and local, state, and national governments. And whereas we acknowledge that in order to solve the public health issue of abuse and neglect, we must work together to change hearts and mindsets through storytelling and sharing, center the needs of families, break down bias and barriers, and inspire action from expected and unexpected partners in prevention. And whereas we are committed to advancing equitable, responsive, and effective systems that ensure all children and families are healthy and thriving. And whereas we recognize the need to prioritize kids and invest in more prevention initiatives like home visiting and family strengthening policies, economic supports, and community-based child abuse prevention programs at the national, state, and local level. Now therefore, we Des Moines County Supervisors do hereby proclaim April as National Child Abuse Prevention Month in Des Moines County and urge all citizens to recognize this month by building a narrative of hope for children and families through collaboration and the creation of an ecosystem of primary prevention that does not currently exist.
Move to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Jim Ferry?
Yes.
Shane Campbell?
Yes.
Tom Brooker.
Yes.
I'd just like to throw a reminder that everybody in Des Moines County, we should be mandatory reporters. I will rat somebody out in a minute, so do not front my carry. Do not do it in front of me.
We have resolution 2024-19. To set the date for a public hearing on a proposal to enter into a general obligation county purpose loan agreement and to borrow money thereunder. Whereas.
That's what I found.
They thought that was a question.
I didn't touch it.
Okay. Whereas the Board of Supervisors of Des Moines County, Iowa, the county proposes to enter into a general obligation county purpose loan agreement, the loan agreement, and to borrow money thereunder in a principal amount not to exceed $3,570,000 pursuant to the provisions of sections 331.402, 331. Lisa, when it says 331 point, is that 331 subsection 442, or how's that? It looks like a period. Close enough. 331.402, 331.441, and 331.443 of the Code of Iowa for the purpose of paying the cost to that extent of undertaking information technology improvements to current to county buildings, $343,375. Undertaking maintenance and repairs for county buildings, $150,000. Acquiring peace officer communications equipment, $73,000. Acquiring insurance for county operations, $2.6 million. Acquiring election systems equipment, $100,000. Acquiring and installing emergency communication systems equipment, $282,000. And equipping the county attorney's office facilities, $20,000. Collectively, the projects. And it is now necessary to fix a date of meeting of this board at which it is proposed to take action on the proposal to enter into the loan agreement and to give notice thereof as required by law. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Supervisors of Des Moines County, Iowa, as follows. Section 1. The board shall meet on April 9th, 2024 at the Des Moines County Courthouse Building at 9:15 a.m., at which time and place a hearing will be held and proceedings will be instituted and action taken to enter into the loan agreement. Section 2. The county auditor is hereby directed to give notice of the proposed action on the loan agreement, setting forth the amount and purpose thereof, the time, when, and place where the said meeting will be held by publication at least once, not less than 4 and not more than 20 days before the date of said meeting, in a legal newspaper which has a general circulation in the county.
Move to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Shane McCampbell.
Aye.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Brooker.
Yes. Enforcement agreement between the Des Moines County Sheriff and the City of Mediapolis for fiscal year 25. I think the sheriff would probably address this.
Yeah, this is the third of our law enforcement agreements from the incorporated cities, and just a continuation of what we've been doing there. There's about a 3.5% increase to cover what our costs are and what our increases are. But we're happy to provide that service, and we have a really great relationship up there. So glad to move forward with it.
Thanks, Sheriff.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Shane McCampbell.
Aye.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Brooker.
Yes.
Wasn't this already signed earlier? Or?
Yeah, it got signed by the city, approved by the city about a month ago. And I think the wrong person signed today to get it re-signed.
Okay.
And it got lost in translation for the last couple of weeks, but on our end, so we're getting it through now.
So it's not amended, it's just,
yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And we have the annual fireworks display permit for J&M Displays permit to test their fireworks throughout 2024 as part of their safety and testing program. I'm guessing the sheriff has no problem with this.
No issues. I've been through the facility, and they really are the experts on this. So.
Okay. And they're signed by Andy Kerr, the Mediapolis Fire Chief. So.
Move approved.
Second.
Sarah.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Brooker.
Yes. Janitorial agreement with Porter Cleaning that I suspect Mr. Bleesner can address.
Yeah, this is for the cleaning of the jail, conservation, roads, and CPC offices. So the jail for the annual amount is $38,340. Conservation offices $2,892. roads is 2,892 a year, and CPC offices $2,892 per year for a total of $47,016 for the year for cleaning those four buildings, and that is the same company we had last year, and there was 0%. They did not increase it for this year, so we would recommend for approval.
I see that the jail gets cleaned 5 times a week.
Yes.
And the conservation secondary roads and CPC are once a week, so.
Right.
Thank you, Rodney.
Thank you.
I move to approve.
Very good.
Sarah.
Shane
Campbell? Yes. Jim Carrey? Yes. Tom Brooks? Yes. We have the aforementioned personnel action for the county attorney's office. Rob Bixler resignation effective March 14th.
Move to approve. Sure to tell Ralph Bix that we really appreciate everything he's done for everything.
I second that motion and what you said, Jim. Sarah.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Tom Brooker?
Yes.
Lisa, you've been pretty lucky. You had two real good ones that did your investigation for you. So, the next person's got a big shoes to fill on both feet.
Yeah. Yeah, Rob is definitely going to be missed.
Yeah.
We have minutes for the regular meeting of March 19th. Motion to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Shane Campbell?
Aye.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brooker?
Yes. There's one to... As an aside, for Lisa, there's one county, or at least one county in the state, that the auditor doesn't think the minutes are any business of the board, so she won't let them look at it until the meeting. She said they're her property.
They have to check mine.
All right, other business.
I have none.
Future agenda items. Committee reports.
I had a juvenile detention meeting, and Colin went with me. He presented an IT program. Colin, you can probably explain what's going on down there better than I can, because in the IT.
So myself and about six other guys, as part of our little ICIT tech team, went down and did a little IT assessment for SIAC, the main office there in Fairfield, and then the detention center down in Montrose. Went over a lot of things on like what they're spending for technology, what some of their needs are, and you know, just kind of some overall issues that we found. I created a report for it with notes and talking with the guys, presented that to Carrie down there at SIAC. And we went down and talked at the detention meeting, basically about some needs that they have technology-wise and some possible funding to kind of get the ship you know, rolling down the river there. And yeah, that was basically the most of it. So looking over some of their technology needs there, we were expecting, you know, some holes in the ship here and there, and the more we looked at it, the more we realized it's more of a raft than it was a ship. And that there's going to be, you know, some definite needs here to kind of get things going, to get them on the right track. So
explain to them about where the kids can use it.
Well, I don't know if I want to bring that up in a public meeting, but there's definitely some big kind of security issues, we'll say, that, you know, technology that definitely needs to be addressed, especially the detention center. So I'll just kind of leave it at that.
It'd be tough trying to mock up people that know more about IT than you do.
Yeah.
Outside of that, everything else is going good.
Good. I had Mississippi Valley Workforce CEO meeting. We just voted on who was going to take over a contract with their youth. I had a landfill meeting, and basically we I didn't ask about why we need to have appointments, and it was basically just because they have somebody there to make sure they can take it in and, you know, get it where it needs to go, that sort of thing. But that was pretty much why. But also, they're looking at some new pricing on disposing of leaves and brush. Apparently, that's a problem, but we did table it. We're gonna bring it back next month. I had another meeting too, but it's just it's escaping my small brain. So that's it.
I attended the Mental Health Agency in Southeast Iowa, and we approved the fiscal 25 service and budget plan, and starting to get ready to close everything down by June 30th, 2025. The region framework is going to be replaced by a regional or district administrative service organizations, and we aren't real sure what that's going to look like yet, but I'm sure the legislatures will let us know anytime now. I attended the COBCO meeting, and it's my understanding that there's a solution to the HRA problem that we discussed 3 or 4 weeks ago, whatever it was, and I think there's been correspondence with any affected parties. If any of you or your staff is affected and they have not heard anything, have them contact the auditor's office. But it's my understanding that they came up with a solution to that. And that's all I have.
Did I say community action?
No. Okay, that was my other meeting, community action. And they're finishing up the work up at the new building up in Mount Pleasant. They're naming it the Glenwood Tolson, who I don't know if anybody's familiar with him, but he was just hugely involved with community action around this area. But they've named the building after him, which I thought was very appropriate. So that was my other thing.
I'm just going to make a statement about mental health.
Feel free.
I don't understand what's going on. They closed the facilities down, they formed regions, and there's all kind of holes in this from listening to the people that's on the board about it. What's the state going to end up doing? We've got so many people, Ken, that need
mental health, and there's no place to go. Yeah, and you know, they set up core services for the regions to do to try and make the services more uniform across the state. But now that's all going away, and I just don't know what's going to replace it. Like Tom was saying, I'm not sure what's going to replace it. I think one of the biggest things that I haven't seen any legislation about is mental health is not covered well by insurance companies either. You know, there's supposed to be parity where if you have a heart attack, you can go into a hospital and get treated for your heart attack. But if you have a mental health issue and you go into the hospital, not all insurance companies will treat that and pay for that. And I think it should be paid for. I think that's one of the bigger problems in mental health. But I don't see anybody addressing that. So I don't know. That's just my two cents worth. But we've done a lot of good in mental health through the regions. We've created crisis services. We've created jail diversion services, where if somebody's picked up and taken to jail and they just have a mental health condition that's causing them to be a nuisance or whatever, we're getting them into treatment and we're making a difference. But now it's all going to be up to districts to decide.
We don't know if that's even going to stay there.
Yeah, it's going to be, districts are going to be over behavioral health, they'll call it. And alcohol, tobacco,
gambling
stuff
that maybe it's a better deal to have it all together, but you don't know exactly what it looks like.
I think mental health and substance abuse go hand in hand. I think that'll be good, but you know, I just don't know any of the details. I don't know what the services the districts are going to be offering or anything at this point. That's all going to be in a state plan at some point, but we don't have any of that yet. So
where we've done well is if they're a willing participant, there are resources there. But many of them are just not. They don't know that they need help. They don't want help. They are comfortable with the state that they're in, and it's just unhealthy for them. It's not a good quality of life. we need the inpatient care, the people that really need this intensive level of care, and that is very difficult to come by now. And there are legal questions about their rights and their ability to do these things, and that has really changed over the last 15 years as there has been less and less resources, care providers. We have seen that change as we've done emergency committals, people that need to have that level of care. Now they get released, and that bar has changed because there isn't enough beds, there isn't enough care providers to provide it. And people that used to be able to receive that care a decade ago cannot get that care anymore. They'll be there for a very short amount of time, and then they'll be released based on that they are not an immediate threat to themselves. And then they'll get kicked loose, and then we'll deal with them in the same situation where they are a threat to themselves. And I think it's just that impression of what that threat is.
I've heard Lisa address that. If you're going to commit somebody, they have to be an immediate threat, don't they, to themselves or others. And if they ask you, are you going to hurt anybody, and they go, no.
But they'll walk around in sub-zero weather with no clothes on. And that, to me, is an immediate threat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But again, once they're stabilized, they're no longer an immediate threat. And that is, committing someone is taking away their liberty. And so I guess I may see it a little bit different than Kevin, more from the legal perspective. We also sometimes have to remember we can't impose our value system on others who may be perfectly content with their life and they are not a danger to themselves and they're not a danger to others. It's just a lifestyle we just cannot comprehend living due to their mental health. And so we really, it's a very fine line. Because to put someone and commit them to an inpatient treatment program is not that much different than committing someone to incarceration.
That's a good
you
point.
Are taking away their liberty. And so there has to be a pretty high standard for that. Now, as far as choosing outpatient over inpatient, I agree with Kevin. I think sometimes we try to take the least restrictive means. And if we believe we can handle it on an outpatient basis, we do. Sometimes that doesn't work. But again, I think we always have to remember that you are restricting their liberty with a committal, and there needs to be a very high bar for the state to come in and tell someone they're going to be placed in a hospital for their own good. Just like a criminal case, there it needs to be a high bar. Just because we may disagree with their lifestyle or not be able to envision ourselves living that lifestyle, if they're not hurting anyone or they're not hurting themselves, we have to accept that.
There's a gentleman that's homeless now. I talked to him. I was dropping off some stuff. I said, man, aren't you tired of living like this? I said, you gotta get off these streets. He's like, tired of what? What are you talking about? He told me what to do with myself. He's perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. He's on perfectly fine. I got my smokes. And I'm like, man, you're on a right at the overpass, you know, the sign. But yeah, he's fine. He wants to be left alone. So I mean, that's.
I can understand that level. It's when they're not taking care of their own health, when they're putting themselves at risk to elements that people can die from. We have taken people that have frostbite on their feet because very recently, frostbite on their feet that they're out in sub-zero weather that are then released, and then they're back out in that weather immediately. And that's the major concern, because we can't allow that. We can't allow them to remain in that kind of weather, but they were no longer an immediate threat to themselves, but they are an ongoing threat to themselves. And I think that there's just some interpretation with that.
The Fed's doing unhelpful financial incentive into it a few years ago as well. What's federal Medicaid and reimburse the state for their cost, 65%, something like that?
Yes, something like that.
Except, it was 10 years ago or so, when they wanted to expand coverage to everybody. You know, they expanded Medicaid. Originally, Medicaid was for women, pregnant women, children, and the disabled. So they expanded that to people that, whatever you think, you know, would maybe be a little more like able to take care of themselves. Anyway, they expanded eligibility for Medicare, and they said, we will pay you 90% of the cost with Medicaid costs for those. Well, Medicaid dollars are limited. So you want to get reimbursed 90% or 65%? And that's an unintended consequence of that. So yeah, there's any number of perfect storms out there. Public input. Did anybody else have a comment? Public input. If anybody from the public would like to comment or has questions, you may email the Board of Supervisors at board@dmcounty.com. That's board@dmcounty.com. Or you can call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4. In the meantime, we'll give you a couple minutes to initiate that caller or email. In the meantime, does anybody here have any comments or questions?
I have a short anecdote that might apply to the mental health thing. About 25 years ago, I got a call from the county sheriff in a county in eastern Nebraska mentioning someone who used to live in Burlington who had driven his brand new pickup through the front doors of Walmart in their town. And I guess my name was in the guy's wallet as a person to call. And he just wanted me to know that he was in the hospital, he wasn't in jail. And it's that kind of heads up awareness that I think everybody's talking about here. But, a good sheriff like you. The guy wasn't on his meds.
Pretty quiet out there. Seconds to fill.
30
times like this, we turn to Shane.
Hawkeyes won last night.
Nail biter for a while.
There's that.
They did. I have concerns.
Yeah, I saw some pictures of Brian with his shirt off doing this. That was kind of weird, but anyways.
That's what social media is for. You can't party there. Where are you going to party?
With an eye, we're out of here.
Bye.
We're adjourned.